our next speaker is Abayomi Azikawi, who is editor of the Pan-African News Wire from my hometown of Detroit. He's also part of the Michigan Emergency Committee Against War and Injustice and has been involved for 30 years in this great work.
Thank you so much. And I want to first of all thank the National Committee to Stop FBI Repression for organizing this regional conference, as well as the other conferences that are taking place throughout the United States involving this very, very pressing issue that we face as a movement here in the United States. Once again, I want to as well express my solidarity with the peoples of Egypt, the peoples of Tunisia, who have given us a wonderful example of what a real revolutionary struggle is like. They have stood up against these U.S.-backed imperialist regimes, the United States and France, and running out of town, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali of Tunisia and Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. And now, despite the billions of, U.S. taxpayer dollars that is taken away from working people in this country to finance these so-called regimes that fight against terrorism, the masses of the people in both Tunisia as well as Egypt stood up. They organized, and they were able to achieve at least their first objective, and that was to remove these dictatorial leaders from power. It is U.S. imperialism that utilizes the Pentagon, the Central Intelligence Agency, that has suppressed the legitimate democratic aspirations of the people of occupied Palestine and the neocolonial regime in Egypt, in Tunisia, and Yemen, and other states throughout North Africa and the Middle East. Therefore, the battles fought and won by the workers and youth in North Africa and the Arabian Peninsula are also our struggles and our victories as well. In addition, we will support the people of Egypt and Tunisia as they push their struggle even further to achieve the goal of a genuinely democratic society based on full equality and social justice for all people. As an African American, we continue to suffer national oppression in the United States based upon the history of the Atlantic slave trade and the failure of Reconstruction in the 19th century, the civil rights laws of the 19th century and the 20th century, to provide self-determination, equality, and social justice to people of African descent here in the United States. The repressive apparatus of the state has been buttressed by the racist organizations such as the Ku Klux Klan, which has never been outlawed here in the United States. The Klan and other racist groups are responsible for the lynching of over 5,000 African Americans over the period since the conclusion of the Civil War. Yet the efforts of the African American people for liberation has been criminalized since slavery. From the Fugitive Slave Acts to the Black Codes to the current drug laws, they have been utilized to perpetuate the enslavement of African people all the way into the 21st century. Since the day of the first imperialist war, the days of the first imperialist war, and the Garvey movement of the 1920s, African Americans have been the principal target of government repression. The Garvey movement was infiltrated and disrupted by the Bureau of Investigation, which preceded the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And in fact, J. Edgar Hoover, one of the first campaigns that he launched was to infiltrate and to smash the Garvey movement, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, right here in this country. Garvey was framed on a bogus charge of mail fraud. He was vilified in the corporate media. He was in prison for 2 years in 1925 and deported from the United States in 1927, never able to return to the United States. And he, in fact, had built one of the largest social and political movements that this country has ever seen. All the time during the rise of the left, during the Great Depression, the government, working hand in glove with local law enforcement, as well as vigilantes, attempted to sabotage the anti-racist movement, the labor movement, and the social justice struggles that took place between the 1930s and World War II. Even during World War II, when you had many African Americans and other people who fought on the side of the United States during that particular time period, we still had racism that continued here in the United States of America. Even within the armed forces itself, people had to fight against racism even on the battlefield within these imperialist wars. Now, there was a concerted attempt in the aftermath of the second imperialist war through the so-called McCarthy era and the so-called Cold War to further marginalize the struggles of African Americans and other progressive forces here in the United States. Many people lost their jobs, they lost their homes, their reputations were tarnished, they spent time in prison, and even some people even lost their lives during this time period. And racial violence even escalated in the aftermath of World War II. These efforts escalated even more during the Civil Rights Movement and expanded the counterintelligence program, which was adopted officially in the 1950s, and it continued and intensified throughout the late 1950s all the way through the 1960s. All we have to do is point out what happened to people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was spied upon by the FBI and other governmental agencies, who had his organization infiltrated by the FBI, who even attempted, on the eve of him receiving the Nobel Peace Prize, attempted to have him commit suicide. Malcolm X, one of the leaders of the Nation of Islam, was also targeted, spied upon. They infiltrated the Nation of Islam, forced a split within that organization. And in the aftermath of the split in the Nation of Islam, when Malcolm X became a full-blown anti-imperialist and revolutionary, actually created the conditions that led to his assassination in 1965 in New York City. Then, of course, we can talk about the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, the most militant, most radical and revolutionary of the civil rights organizations of the 1960s. They, too, were subjected to FBI infiltration, who worked hand in glove with local law enforcement agencies and the Ku Klux Klan to prevent them from achieving their strategic objectives. That was the elimination of legalized segregation and racism here in the United States. The Black Panther Party, which largely grew out of the efforts of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in Alabama, became a principal target of the FBI as well. In fact, the counterintelligence program of the late 1960s and early 1970s, the overwhelming majority of the projects carried out by the counterintelligence program were actually targeted against the Black Panther Party. Hundreds of their activists were incarcerated. Many of them lost their jobs. And at least two dozen members of the Black Panther Party and their supporters were killed. We don't have to talk about that here because we lost Fred Hampton and Mark Clark in 1969 right here on the west side of Chicago. And their deaths directly resulted from infiltration by the FBI. And of course, the federal government, even though they launched a purported grand jury investigation into the death of Fred Hampton and Mark Clark, no governmental official was ever charged criminally with carrying out these planned and targeted assassinations against Black Panther Party leaders. Then, of course, we can talk about the anti-war movement, which has been a principal target as well of the FBI. Now, today, we face similar challenges. Since 9/11, with the passage of the USA Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, and other draconian legislation, we're still suffering from this type of targeted infiltration and disruption by the FBI and other governmental agencies. The Islamic community has been a principal target. For example, in the city of Detroit, on October the 28th of 2009, an Islamic cleric, Imam Luqman Amin Abdullah, was shot down, shot 20 times, and killed by the FBI. This happened less than a year and a half ago. And Imam Luqman was head of the Masjid al-Haq in the city of Detroit. It's largely African-American Islamic mosque. They fed the poor. They provided shelter for homeless people, for former inmates who had been victims of the social system here in the United States. And they sent FBI informants into his organization, into his mosque, and attempted to entrap people in criminal activity, attempted to bribe him even in committing so-called terrorist acts, even during the Super Bowl in 2006. He was in fact offered by an FBI informant several thousand dollars to be involved in a plot to engage in some type of operation against the people who were attending the Super Bowl in Detroit in early 2006. And he refused. He said, "I will never participate in any action that's going to result in the deaths of innocent people." Yet the FBI did not stop. They continued to try to bribe people inside of his mosque. And eventually, on October the 28th of 2009, he and a number of his followers was lured to a warehouse in Dearborn, which is a suburb right outside of Detroit, supposedly to earn $300 for unloading some goods out of a truck into a warehouse. What they didn't know was that the warehouse had been set up by the FBI. The so-called goods involved, which the FBI says were stolen goods, were actually goods that were supplied by the FBI. And the person who actually set up the whole incident was an FBI informant, who in fact had infiltrated the Masjid al-Haq. When they arrived there, numerous FBI agents came into the area where they were unloading these goods. They sicked a dog upon Imam Lukman. They also set off concussion bombs. And they came in, and we've seen some of the videotapes, edited videotapes of this incident. And these FBI agents, these government agents, actually look like special forces units that operate every day in Afghanistan and in Iraq. In fact, several of them came from Quantico, Virginia, where they do counterterrorism training, and they dispatch counterterrorism units that are dispatched all over the world. They sicked a dog upon Imam Lukman. They claim he pulled a gun and shot the dog. We don't know if that's true or not. And he was shot, as I mentioned before, 20 times. But what's even worse than that is that the FBI and the Justice Department covered up this incident and whitewashed it. And in fact, some 1 year later, they released a report, a 17-page report, saying that their agents were justified in carrying out this targeted assassination against this Islamic leader. It's totally outrageous. So brothers and sisters, this still goes on. From the times of slavery and Reconstruction, through the period of lynchings and legalized segregation, through the period of the Garvey Movement, the struggles that developed during the Great Depression against the economic tyranny of capitalism, through the so-called period of the Cold War and the so-called McCarthy era, all the way through the Civil Rights Movement, the Black Power Movement, and the revolutionary movements of the 1960s and 70s, up until today, we still have this same infiltration and disruption. However, we have to still struggle. We cannot lose focus on what our strategic objectives are, and that is to bring peace, justice, and equality to all people in this country and throughout the world. And they will never stop us. No matter how many billions of dollars they spend on trying to infiltrate our organizations, trying to control the media to turn the public against us, we will continue to struggle. As the people in Egypt has taught us, as the people in Tunisia have taught us, and as the people throughout the world are teaching us every day, we will win despite the odds. Thank you so much for inviting us.